Book of Amos. Going to start from the verse 1.
The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake.
Now here we see about the prophet Amos. But this Amos was not really a prophet's son. Many prophets, sometimes they're coming because of their father. They are ministers or priests. But this Amos is not coming from the priestly family. And we learn where he was living, Tekoa or Tekoa. This place is 12 miles from Jerusalem. So I was thinking, in Jerusalem, there are priests, there are prophets. Why God has to choose somebody from 12 miles away? And this man, Amos, now different translations say different things. Some translation will say he was a shepherd. Some translation will say he was a herdsman, or means a cowboy. He had a business, buying the cows and selling the cows. And not only that, he was a farmer. And he has another business called fig business. He had so many fig trees, and he used to get the fruits before they ripe and sell it. So you can see this man is a busy man. He is a farmer. He has the fruit trees. It's not easy to take all the fruits from fig trees and then sell it and then buy the cows and sell the cows and do this herdsman's business is hard. Shepherd is a little bit easy. But the sheep, they come in a fold and they walk together and they listen to the shepherd and they follow him. But the cows are not like that. Cows are go different ways. The bulls will go different ways. How do you know? Because I was a cowboy. I used to take my cows and bulls to the farm. And they will not go in the straight line. Only they will go in a straight line in the evening time. When the time to go home, they will come all together and run to home. You don't have to tell them go or anything. They will run to home. And they will stand exactly where we tie them. You don't have to run after them. But the sheep, they have to have a leader. And they will follow the leader all together. But the cowboy, as I said, is not an easy job. He has to run here and there and bring the cows and milk the cows and feed them and so much work. On top of that, he has another business, fig tree business. And so he's a busy man. Why God called the busy person? God never calls lazy person to the ministry. Remember that. If you're always sleeping and you don't have any energy, you don't want to do any work, and you say, oh, I'm not going out there, maybe a lion is there, and I'm not going out, and I'm not going to do anything. And some of them so lazy, they put their hand in the plate, and they cannot lift up their hands to put it in their mouth. Those kind of people God never calls. God always calls the people who are busy, doing something, responsible people. And those kind of people God can trust that they will do something. And so if somebody says, oh God, if you call me, I'll do this and do that. But they have no desire. They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to pray. They don't want to go to church. But they say, oh Lord, if you call me, I will surely do your work. God will never call them because they are not interested in the Lord's work. Not only that, we see another character in this man. He was not only a herdsman or the farmer or the fruit business and things like that. This man was a godly man, just like David. David was a shepherd. Same time, before God called him, he used to make a song. He used to sing unto the Lord, and he was godly. And even though his father didn't care about him, and when the Samuel comes to anoint one of the Jesse's son, children, and one was the first one was handsome and tall, he said, well, first tall man was Saul, and God selected him. Maybe this is another tall man. God likes tall people. And so God says, no, no, I rejected him. And all the Jesse's son walked before him, and everybody was rejected. But David was not tall like other brothers, but he was godly. He was minding his business. He was singing unto the Lord. He was taking care of the sheep. He was not the person like when the lion comes, run for your life. He rescued the lion's mouth, his sheep. And bear came, and he rescued his lambs from the bear's mouth and teared them apart. And so this man was strong and healthy, but at the same time, he was godly. And so same way, this Amos is a godly man. He might be thinking about God. He knew so much history about the Israeli people. So he studied. And so this man is a godly man. He never thought in his life that God will call me and I'll be a prophet. But he was busy doing his business, and in his business, he was keeping God first in his life. That's what you have to do. You are a minister or a believer. Don't think that ministers has the job, pastor's job is preaching and bringing souls and going out and telling others. Each and every believer has the responsibility. If you are a born-again child of God, you have a witness in your life. Wherever you go, you shine for the glory of God. People are going to see Jesus in you. Amos is not a famous, but he is a good man, minding his business, doing his job, and pleasing God. God gave him vision. God talked to him and sent him away. Now, this man lives near Jerusalem, 12 miles of Jerusalem, and he knows in Jerusalem there is a temple. In the temple, when the high priest goes and God talks to the high priest, and the message comes to the children of Israel. So he says, you know, God is roaring from Zion or roaring from Jerusalem, but the message comes to the children of Israel from Jerusalem. So this man was listening to God, worshiping God. Maybe he was going to temple all the time or worshiping and keeping touch with God. What time was it when God called him? He says there was a king, Uzziah, the king of Judah, and there was a Jeroboam, the king of Israel. That was a Jeroboam the second. Now, these kings were ruling at that time. And again he says, at that time God called him before the earthquake, 2 years before. So I was thinking, when God called him 2 years before the earthquake, that means he already was there preaching and telling people what the disaster is going to come. And when he's preaching, middle of his preaching, maybe 2 years in between, the earthquake came. Earthquake were not like today's earthquake. Their earthquake will be having a 10 years apart or 20 years apart or 30 years apart. Very rarely there will be earthquake. But when Jesus Christ came, he says, the signs of my coming, there will be many earthquakes. And now you can see within a 1 year, there will be 1,000 earthquakes all around. But people are still not thinking that Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ has already said there will be many, many more earthquakes. We are seeing, before that people didn't know, but now we have television, satellite, so we can figure it out how many earthquakes are happening every day, everywhere. And so here he says God called him and sent him there 2 years before the earthquake. So all these things are recorded. He was the king. Nobody can deny it. There was a king, and Jeroboam II, there was a king. So the timing is given. Now this time, this man was called, because so many people will say, who Amos? There was no Amos. But when you go and see the record of earthquake, and these two kings were there, and so we know there was a man called Amos, and God sent him to this place. And again I was thinking, he was living in a place where the, Judah, because he's living near the Jerusalem, 12 miles, and God sent him away from Jerusalem. He says, you go to Israel. If you remember last time I was telling you, when Jezebel wanted to kill Elijah, he ran from Israel. He wanted to go to Judea. Why? Because Israeli kingdom will not attack when you go to Judea. And so he was running, and we heard that he was tired and he was sleeping under the tree, and the angel comes and gives him food twice, and he says you have to go for a journey. And he walked. It was a long journey to go to Judah. So the Israeli kingdom also was doing something wrong. He was in Judah. Now God is saying, go to Israel and to preach the gospel. So I was thinking, why God calling somebody from Judea, 12 miles closer to the Jerusalem, and now he is telling him to go to places of Israel? And when I start reading this book, what's happening, he's trying to tell him about Syria and Damascus and all other worldly kingdom. And those people are going to have a punishment. And he gives, we will read verse by verse. And so I was thinking, first of all, God is not choosing somebody from Israel. You remember what Jesus Christ said? The prophet will not be honored in his own house. So God is saying, I'm going to send you to faraway country to preach there, so people might honor you, they might listen to you, and that's the reason might be God sent him. Okay, let's read the verse too.
And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither.
Now here he's coming and saying, you know what God is going to do? You know that God's word is coming from Jerusalem, coming from Mount Zion. The Lord's word is not coming like a whispering. God is like a roaring lion. And he's talking to you, but you're not listening. The word of God is coming to you, and indirectly he's saying, I was in the Jerusalem. I was near the temple. I used to go to temple. I was a very religious man, is not saying here. But he is saying, I know God. God has given me vision. And the God's voice is roaring. And God is trying to tell you something. He says, let me tell you, the time is coming that all these shepherds will have problem, because they will be famine. They will be famine. The people will not have food. They will not have grass. And they will have problems on the Mount Carmel. And so he's trying to say the worst days are coming. You have to listen what I'm trying to say. God has sent me with a definite high calling. I heard the voice of God. God has called me. He has given me vision. He has given me the direction to come. I was minding my business in Judea. I had a good business. I was flourishing. I was not poor. I was a rich man. But when God called me, I gave up everything. That's the witness. Each and every person should have witness when you're going to represent Christ to somebody. I tell people when I go from America to India, what I tell them, sir, I have a beautiful house, air-conditioned room, refrigerator, a good house and everything, why I have to give up everything and come to India where there's mosquitoes, where are all kinds of problems, all kinds of trouble there? Why I have to suffer here when I was suffering already and I went there and God gave me better place? Why I'm coming here? I'm coming here because God loves you and I love you. That's why I'm coming here. And then I tell them how God has called me and what God is doing in my life. Because without God's calling, you cannot do anything. There are some people doing something without God's calling, and when the trouble comes, they leave everything. Like God says, hire servant, hire shepherd. When they see lion coming or bear coming, they run. They don't care about their sheep or goats and things like that. But the person who is called by God, he will give his life. People will not run away when the trouble comes, when you have calling from God. Other day, one of our sisters, she went to Africa, Sister Audrey, but she never told us what hardship she went through. She didn't tell you anything. Maybe we didn't give her a chance. We should be giving her a chance one day and tell your experience in Africa what happened. She can tell you it was not easy. Going to Africa is not an easy thing. First of all, people will scare you because there are so many diseases going on. And people having AIDS and people are dying with the malaria and this and that. So people already tell you not to go there. But she took her life in the hand of God and said, Lord, I'm going to go for you and you help me. And God did help her. So the point I'm making, you have to have a calling. And you have to have a vision. And you have to have some kind of direction. And you have to have a love for the people. Amos could say to God, Lord, there is a Judah's kingdom and there is an Israeli kingdom. I'm in Judea and those people are separated. We have fight with each other. Even all of those people are Israeli people. David was the king over all people. Solomon was the king over all people. But the Solomon son came and the kingdom divided. And only two tribes came to Judah, Judah and Benjamin. And all other 10 tribes were in Israel. But you can see, he could say, there are 10 tribes there. We are only two tribes. And why are you calling me? I go to the enemy's territory. They will kill me. I don't want to go there. But he obeyed God. That's what it is. You have to see the situation. Whatever the situation is, if God is with you, nobody can against you. When I was in India, when I got a call to go to any place, I told you, go to Muslim mosque and preach, Hindu temple and preach, and the Hindu festival, people are gathering, thousands of people doing their chanting and singing, and God tells me, go and preach there. And I would have said, Lord, they will kill me. I'm not going there. But I went there and preached, wherever, even in Philadelphia. I wanted to come to Philadelphia from New York. People said, don't go to Philadelphia. The people are bad people, and they might, kill you or destroy you. I live in New York. And I heard about Philadelphia, but I said, well, we are going to pray. My wife was a nurse, and she's still a nurse, and so she has to go and find 1 year when finish, and then second year she has to go to different state wherever she can find a job, and when she finishes the job she has to go back to India. And so only 2 years. And so 1 year she finished, now second year she has so many places to go, all different states. We went to a few states and she could not find an apartment close to hospital. The job was there, but no house. And we were not driving at that time. I had the Indian license, but I didn't have the car. And so, point I'm making, when we came to Philadelphia, we prayed, Lord, give us the house across from the hospital. And if you give the house across from the hospital, we'll take the job. First, we saw the Temple University Hospital. Across from there, there was an apartment for rent. So before we go to the job, we went to the apartment. We got the apartment first, and then she went to interview. She passed and she got a job, and we lived there. Today, if you go across from temple, no apartments. God gave us apartment right in front of temple. So we don't have to travel far. And that's why I'm in Philadelphia. And I made up my mind. When God brought me here, I had so many opportunities, and my wife also, after we came to Philadelphia to go somewhere else. God brought me here, and I'm going to be here and preaching the gospel. And I said, Lord, give us a good building so we can make the World Outreach Center or office. This is just the office, I'm thinking, because God is going to give us pretty bigger building than this. And so I said, give me the office at the strong building in Philadelphia so we can reach from here to around the world. And God did. If you go to that side and read the sign, what it says, International Christian Fellowship World Outreach Center. We already put it by faith. So this became a World Outreach Center. Today, we are reaching more than 122 countries. I told you last January, the first Saturday, we started 5 different radio stations, full power stations. So the point I'm making, you have to have a vision and God's guidance to go. And once you go there, then you will be doing the Lord's work and you will be not afraid of anybody. You will see later on, he got us so much problem, but he was not afraid of anybody. So here he's saying, God is roaring from Jerusalem. You better listen, otherwise the trouble is ahead of you. And God is going to bring destruction. Verse 3. Amos chapter 1, verse 3.
Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad.
Okay, now you heard about the Hazael and Ben-Hadad. But here is saying you did crimes or you did wrong things, not one time, not 2 times, not 3 times, 4 times. Actually, he's saying you are committing sin again and again and again. So God says, you know, you made one mistake. You better say, I'm sorry, Lord, I made a mistake, and turn around. But some people say, I made one mistake. God didn't zap me. So I'm going to do another mistake. And do another mistake, and nothing happens. So I'm going to do another mistake. And they keep on doing. And what happened? They get calluses. Means their heart gets stubborn, and they are not afraid of God anymore. Because they say, oh, who cares? I can say anything to God and God is not doing anything. In those days, if the high priest, if he did something, and even in the presence of God, God can kill him. So that's why he said, tie the robe to his feet and pull him out. He cannot go to the most holy place. So God was strict. People say he's a cruel God. God is a killer. One man made a city. God is a killer. Some people don't like God is a killer. When you say God is love, everybody likes God is love. But the Bible says God is love and God is consuming fire. He gives us a chances. The word of God says he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross of Calvary. And on the cross, his hands were spread apart. And what Jesus Christ was saying, O heavy laden, come unto me. I will give you rest. I will give you my peace. I will give you my joy. Come unto me. You don't have to go to hell. I came for you. The word of God says, when we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. All of this, God did it. And then he said, if you don't listen to my son, then the punishment is coming. Whoever rejects Jesus Christ, those people will have punishment. The greatest sin is, do you know what is the greatest sin? Somebody say, greater sin will be murder, greater sin will be prostitute, or greater sin will be something like that. No. Greater sin is rejecting Christ. All your sins can be forgiven, but the rejecting Christ, that sin will be never forgiven. That's what the Word of God says. When you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that sin will be not forgiven. The people said, I don't understand. I said something wrong about the Holy Spirit. I said something wrong about Jesus. I said something about wrong God. And so God will never forgive me. He says, you reject Christ. Reject God's salvation plan. That person will not be forgiven. Means, if he repents before he dies, surely God will forgive. Because there are so many people, they say bad about God, bad about Holy Spirit. They don't want to come to God. But before they die, they say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. That's why God is gracious. He wants to forgive everyone when they repent. Now, there are some people say, you don't have to repent. God is love. And God is not going to send whole this population to hell. Yes, he destroyed the whole world in the time of Noah. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Those are the examples in front of us. Why cannot God destroy the whole world if they don't listen? They said, oh, in those days, if the 10 people were there, God will not be destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. So now we are more than 10 in America, right? So God is not going to destroy America. Nobody standing there like Abraham and say, Lord, if there is 10 people in America, could you save the America? Not a single person is talking like that today. Why? Because God has given us the message. We are telling people, if you don't listen to God today, the day of judgment is coming. Jesus Christ is not coming to save people again. If you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, he says, it is appointed a day and time. Once to die, after that, a judgment. And then you read the next word, 28, he says, Jesus Christ is not coming again to die or anything like that. He's coming to judge. So Jesus Christ is coming. He's a horrible judgment. He said, that's why he said, day of the Lord. People are afraid. The day of the Lord is not the day of the Lord for having good time. The day of the Lord is the judgment time. Now Amos is telling these people, listen, I'm telling you that destruction is coming. If you don't listen, the trouble is coming. So point I'm making, we have to tell the people, if you don't listen to the right teaching, the Antichrist will reveal, and he will give the mark 666 on your forehead or on your hand in the time of tribulation. How many people are going to be survived? There will be no, a preacher. In this book we will be reading, the famine of not for bread, famine for not for water, but the famine for the word of God. If he says that if the church will be in the tribulation, that means preachers will be there. But there won't be any preachers. 144,000 sealed. Some people say, oh, they are Jewish evangelists. No, they are not Jewish evangelists. They will be protected. They will be going. We will be reading later on. The point I'm making, we have to learn the word of God, preach the truth, and know the truth. But this man is telling the truth. The king of the Damascus, Hazael and Ben-Hadad, what happened to them? You already read it in the book of Kings, but if you want to go back again, 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 7 to 15.
And Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God has come hither. And the king said unto Hazael, take a present in thine hand, and go meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him, and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, hath sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease? And Elisha said unto him, go, say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover, howbeit the Lord hath showed me that he shall surely die.
Okay, now see, you all rest of the things you already heard. Now this king sent his servant. He says, go and ask the prophet. He gives the, all the best gifts and everything, good things and camels and this and that to please the prophet. And then you will be worse than him. And he started crying. And I'm thinking, why the Elijah has to tell this guy, you know, that guy is going to die and you're going to be king and you're going to be worse than him, and he's crying. And he said, oh no, master, no, I won't be doing all of these things. But God already told Elisha that this is going to happen. And these people, that king dies and the other guy becomes the king, and he start destroying the children of Israel as the Elisha saw. So that's what God says. Let's go back to the book of Amos, chapter 1, verse 5.
I will break also the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant, and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, says the Lord.
Now here he says why God is doing this. Not 1, 2, 3, 4. Time and time and time again, they did wrong thing. And what they were doing, in the verse 3 it says, they were taking the sharp objects, what they use in their farming, and they were using those objects to kill the children of Israel. And so God could not see these horrible things. So God is saying, now this punishment is coming. So the king was already died, and then other king came. So he says, these both kings, one after another, I'm going to destroy them, and I'm going to let these kings go to the captivity. And it happened. This is not happening today. It happened long time ago. But why are we studying this? We are just studying how God tells the people, gives the warning, and exactly happens. God says, I tell the things beforehand. He revealed to the prophet, and he tells the people, and they don't listen. And so there is a saying, the wise person sees somebody go in front of him, and he trip and fall, and he will be cautious not to fall in the same ditch. But there are people, they said, well, he was winkling, he fall, I'm not going to fall. And they are going to get into trouble. We get the warning, don't listen, the horrible things will happen to you. Verse 6.
Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Gaza, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity, to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Tyrus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant.
Okay, now here we see, we saw the Damascus, we saw the Gaza, and all of these kingdoms at that particular time, they were destroyed, and they got their punishment. Now there is another ninth verse, it says, there is another place called Tyre. And that was an island. And those people were so proud. Nobody can defeat us because we are an island. The enemy comes, they have to swim, or they have to, you know, come close, and we'll destroy them. And so the time of King Solomon, they had a treaty that we should not be fighting to each other. Go to the 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 12. You have to read the whole chapter, but I don't have time.
And the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, as he promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and they two made a league together.
Now, Hiram is the king of this Tyre. And so they had a treaty. Hey, listen, you don't bother us, and we don't bother you. And they were okay. But now, when they got so proud, and they did not want to listen or obey the treaty. Muslim never keep their promises. How many times they make promise, Israel, if you move from this way, we will not bother you. But as soon as they do, They don't believe the promises. And that's what happened. But the God says, you are strong. You thinking nobody can destroy you. God raised the, what do you call, King Nebuchadnezzar and destroy the Tyre completely and control it. Okay, start from 10. 10.
But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Edom, and for 4 I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with a sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever.
Now see here, it says, how God destroyed the Tyre island, and he says, the punishment came with the fire. Now I don't know, the fire didn't come, but in those days, they used to have fire, what do you call those, arrows. And they can send the fire and destroy the people. And so we don't know how the king Nebuchadnezzar did it, but they were destroyed by fire. Now here is saying about Edom. Edom is Esau. Esau's children became Edomites. And so this Edomites people, God was angry at them, because when the children of Israel coming from Egypt and they wanted to travel through this Edomic kingdom, and Moses comes and begs them, can we go? Said no. And God kept note of that. And after many years later, God says, you know, I'm going to destroy you because you didn't listen. Let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 20, and read from verse 14 to 21.
And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people, and with a strong hand.
The strong hand means with the sword. Okay.
Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him.
See, now Israeli people coming from Egypt, there are millions of people. They are warrior. They defeated many enemies. And they could have defeated Esau and his Adam, the Edomic people. But God knew these are Abraham's children. So they are brethren. So they said, okay, we are not going to fight with you. Let us go. We will not drink water from your well. We will not harm you. Let's go. Just let us walk from there. He comes with the sword and army. And he said, I'm not going to let you go from here. And so they have to go, turn around and go other way. And God remembered that. God says, you did this to my people. I did not forget. So you are going to get your punishment. And what these people were doing, we saw Damascus people and Gaza people. They were kidnapping Israeli people, Jewish people, and selling to the Edomite people. Esau's family means Edomite. And so there are Arab people today. And so they were doing this kind of business, and they were destroying this Israeli people. So God says, enough is enough. I'm going to destroy you. And those days, they were destroyed. But still today, there are Arab people still. The time is coming, and one of these days, God is going to destroy all of those people. Okay, let's go back to the chapter 1, Amos. And start reading from verse 12.
But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour the palaces thereof, with shouting in the day of battle, with the tempest in the day of the whirlwind. And their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, saith the Lord.
Now here we see. Now we heard about the Edomic people, Esau's relatives. Now here he's talking about the people of Ammon. Now do you know Ammon is today's Jordan. Now those people also were doing so many wrong things. Gilead, the Israeli people are living. They are going and ripping off the pregnant ladies and killing their babies. Why? Because if the babies are killed, then automatically nobody will be fighting with us, and within a 10-20 years we will be expanding. This is the devil's tactic. Now abortion is the same way. When you abort the children from your womb, other people like a Muslim, they don't believe in abortion, and they are growing, so automatically they can defeat America easily. So the point I'm making, no producing children, and we will be dead automatically. They should come and rule over you. Now Jack MP made one CD, Sharia Law. You can get it. And that Sharia Law, he says, what that Sharia Law does? The Sharia Law mean Muslim, if they rule, they will kill all homosexuals, they will kill all lesbians, they will kill all the Christians, they will kill all, what you call, non-Muslim, and that's the Sharia Law. And so many people say, oh, Sharia Law is good. So we have to know what the Sharia Law is. So the point I'm making, these people were killing the lady who has the baby. What was their idea? They want to expand their kingdom. And that's the wrong thing the devil is doing today in America. Somebody's eyes should open. All these people did the horrible thing. Ammon people, they're Jordan people. But in the time of tribulation, do you know what's going to happen? God is going to spare Jordan. That Antichrist will not destroy Jordan. I was thinking, why? Because today, Jordan has a treaty with Israel. Do you know that? They cannot fight with Israel. Egypt had the treaty with Israel. Now the Egyptian became a brotherhood, and they are breaking the treaty. They didn't break yet, but they are talking about breaking. And so Jordan had the treaty, even though they did horrible things, and God punished them one time, but God will have mercy on Jordan. So we have to see how God is so merciful. How horrible things you can do, but God will do great things for you if you listen to him. What the word of God says, God told Abraham, whoever curses you, they will be cursed. Who will bless you, they will be blessed. So the Jordan have a treaty with Israel, and Jordan will be blessed. And when the 144,000 people were sealed, and the Antichrist comes to kill them, they will run to Jordan. And there is a place called Petra, and they will be protected. If you read the Revelation chapter 12, the devil goes after the woman, and the woman was protected by 3.5 years in that particular place. God gives warning, and some people listen to the warning, some people don't. Each and every person didn't listen to warning. They were all punished. And that is the example in front of our eyes. God gives you chances again and again and again. We have to say, Lord, enough is enough. We are going to ask forgiveness for our sins. The time is very short, and we are going to turn our life to you, and we are going to win souls for Christ, and we are going to live for you. There are so many people doing so many wrong things. Even the Christians are giving wrong teaching, and some people they want their freedom to destroy America. But some Christian people will rise up and say, enough is enough. We are going to give our blood. We are going to give our life. to save our country, save our people, and save Christians from all the horrible destruction. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a gracious God. We heard in this chapter, one time, two times, three times, four times, again and again and again, they did evil things. You send the prophet and destroy all of those countries. But still, Edomite people are still alive, Ammonites still alive, and some of the people who tried to destroy Israel, they are still alive. And one day, your word says you will come from Basra. Your feet will be dipped in blood. So you are coming to take revenge. The people who do not listen to the word of God. And people who reject the Son of God. Lord Jesus, give us grace. That Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And we want to receive him as our Lord and Savior. Give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.